Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today. And we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled Four Steps to a Better Life. As we start off this new year, we want to talk about how your life in this new year can be better than the life in the past. We will start in Ephesians and Colossians, two passages in Paul's epistles. So if you want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. And as you do so, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information on how you can contact us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Also, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs or CDs of this entire month's series of studies, we'll be glad to get those out to you if you simply write and request them. Right now, as we turn to the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, two passages in Paul's epistles that are very much parallel passages that deal with the same issue and give us the same basic information about that issue. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, we read this, "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, we read this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In these two passages of Scripture, we see, as I said, two very parallel thoughts. That is, that Paul in each case is talking to us about our lives as believers and how we conduct ourselves and live our lives as believers. And if you'll notice, in each case, he goes through the same basic information, the same basic list. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." In verse 20, "Giving thanks always to God the Father." And in verse 21, "Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord." So there's speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. There is submitting yourselves one to another. And there is giving thanks. And then there is submitting yourselves one to another. In Colossians chapter 3, those same basic issues are covered. In verse 16, he talks at the end of the verse, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And then in verse 18, wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives, children obey your parents. He goes through those listings of submission as he does in Ephesians chapter 5. The thing that's different about the two, so we have in Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3, these two passages of Scripture where Paul talks to us about how to have a better life. That is, how to have a life that is more pleasing to the Lord and reaps eternal benefits. How to have a life that is not a life of vanity and a life of meaninglessness and purposelessness, but a life that actually accomplishes something of eternal value. And he gives us these list of things that should be happening in a life like that, that we should be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, that we should be giving thanks, that we should be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. But the phrase that he uses before each of those is significant. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says this, "Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "I want you to be filled with the Spirit, and these are the things that will happen." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and these are the things that will happen." So if you compare those two passages, he's been listing all these things that are similar in the passages, all the things that are the same, that is, the giving of thanks, the speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, the submission one to another. But in one passage, he says, be filled with the Spirit, and these things will be evident and will be practiced in your life. In the next passage, in Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, what we can understand from that, if we have one passage where he says, be filled with the Spirit, and these are the things that will be evident in your life. And then the other passage, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, and these are the things that are evident in your life. And all of those things that he lists, he lists there, giving of thanks, the same is true over here. There will be giving of thanks. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, speaking to yourself in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, those are the same. Submission to one another, those are the same. So he gives us these lists of things that will be evident in our life. One, when the Spirit fills us. The other, when the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. So what we could understand from that, what we know from that, is that in Paul's epistles and in his way of understanding and in his thinking, that to be filled with the Spirit is to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. When you are filled with the Spirit, you accomplish that, you get that filling of the Spirit by having the Word dwelling in you. And as the Word dwells in you, because the words in the Bible, the words in the book, are inspired by the Spirit, they are spiritual words. So as the words of the Bible fill you and fill your mind, that is being filled with the Spirit. And as you're filled with the Spirit, these things are going to follow. You will speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, giving thanks and submission one to another. And in the next 3 weeks, we will talk more about each of these issues, about what it is to speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, the giving of thanks, and then the submission one to another, and how all of those make for a better life. Our topic is 4 steps to a better life. Well, each of these things, each of these 3 things help you to achieve a better life, to help you to achieve a life that is meaningful and of value and purpose to God and in His plan and His purpose. The title of our message today specifically is Get a Life. In other words, if we're going to live a better life, 4 steps to a better life, you might have heard somebody, you might have said to somebody sometime or had somebody say to you, oh, why don't you get a life? Well, that's the topic that we're talking about today in these 4 steps to a better life, is get a life. And through this understanding of Scripture, that the life of Christ is found in His Word, that the life of the Spirit is found in His Word, we begin to understand how we can get a life. The first step to a better life is to get a life. And that life that we need to get comes from the Word of God, comes from the Scriptures. It is the life of Christ. And it's available to us through the Scriptures, through the written Word. Let's look at some more verses. Go to Ezekiel chapter 2. Some more verses that illustrate this point that we've put up here on the board, that being filled with the Spirit is equal to having the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that the results of both of those are the same, indicating that when you have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, you have the Spirit dwelling in you. Book of Ezekiel chapter 2. As you go through the Scriptures, oftentimes in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God is synonymous with the Word of God. And when someone is filled with the Spirit, it results in the speaking forth of God's Word. Or when the Word of God fills someone, it is said to be being filled with the Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1, Ezekiel says this, He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Now notice, as God begins to speak to Ezekiel, what he says, verse 2, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me on my feet. The Spirit of God entered into me. When did the Spirit of God enter into Ezekiel? When he spake unto me. You see, in that passage, the Spirit of God and the Word of God are combined and are synonymous. It's when God speaks the Word into the ears of Ezekiel that the Spirit of God enters into him. So what Ezekiel is hearing is the Word of God, but the net effect of that is that the Spirit of God enters into him. He hears the Word, and when he hears the Word and understands the Word, the impact of that Word in him is the Spirit entering into him. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Let's get another passage where the Word and the Spirit are seen as operating together, as operating synonymously. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So again, what is it that's being, they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, they're being filled with the Spirit, but that filling of the Spirit causes them to speak words. And the words that they speak are the words of God. The words that they speak are not their own word. The words that they speak are not something that's coming up from their own mind. But the words that they speak are the words of God. As the Spirit enters into them, the Spirit gives them words to speak. Those words that they speak are the words of God. And those words of God then become the Spirit of God going forth from them in the message of the words. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about the inspiration of Scripture and about how God gave the words on the page. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, we read this about the speaking forth of God's Word and that, where that Word originates. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25. But the Word of God it endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he talks there about the Word of God, about that Word of God being preached. Back up in the passage, verse 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So we have the Word of God which endureth and abideth forever. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, we read, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter, he talks about that Word of God that lives and endures and abides forever. It is eternal, just as God is eternal, just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are eternal. We have that eternal Word. So we have an eternal Word, and that eternal Word in 2 Peter chapter 1 is going to be spoken forth through men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak God's Word. So what is it that produces the Word of God? It's the Spirit of God working through those men, and the words that they speak or the words that they write are the very words that God gave them. That's what inspiration is all about. That's why when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and these things will happen, and then in another passage he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you and these things will happen, he's saying the same thing. He's saying that as the Word of God fills you, the Word of Christ fills you, that is the Spirit filling you. And as the Spirit fills you, it will produce things in your life. It'll produce certain outcomes, certain benefits in your life that he lists there and that we'll talk about in the coming studies. But for today, what we understand is that there is a source of life. That is, there is a place that you can go. When we say, four steps to a better life, you can go into a bookstore in any town and look at their selection of self-help books. And there'll be books for all different kinds of things. You know, how to succeed better in business, how to lose weight, how to have better success in whatever area of life you might want that success to be. There'll be all these books. But none of those books Even though the information in them might be good and there might be things to be learned there, none of those books are the source of life. If what we're talking about is getting a better life, then four steps to find that better life, then what we need to know we have for sure as we start is the source of life. We need to know we have a book that contains in its pages life. There are many, many books written. There are many, many sources of information today. Books, newspapers, internet, whatever the case might be. But there's one book that is the source of life. There's one book that is alive. There's one book that when you pick it up and you read it and you hold it in your hands, it's a book that has the life of Christ in it. Let's look at a couple more verses about this. Go to John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse number 63. And in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ says this. Now remember, Jesus Christ, of course, is the Son of God. He's incarnate in the flesh here on the planet. But when he speaks, he still speaks the word of God. What he speaks, the words that Christ speaks, are the words of God, because Jesus Christ is God the Son. And he says something interesting in John chapter 6 and verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus Christ pointed to the words that he spoke. And as I said, the words that he spoke obviously are the words of God. The words that I speak, the words that God speaks, are spirit and they are life. So if we're looking for a better life, where are we going to look? Well, you're not going to find a better life in all those self-help books at your bookstore. You're not going to find a better life in the newspaper. You're not going to find a better life on the internet by searching a bunch of websites. Where you find a better life is in a book that is life. A book that has words in it that are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The life of the Spirit of God is in the words, in the pages of His book. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what Paul has to say about this principle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17. Ephesians 6, 17. And in Ephesians, as Paul talks about the armor that we wear as believers for our warfare against spiritual wickedness in high places, he says this, Ephesians 6, 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. Now, when you think of a sword, what do you think of? Well, a sword is an offensive piece of weaponry. All the other pieces of weaponry that he lists here, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the gospel of peace, all of those things are defensive. All those things are fend off the attack of the enemy. There's one offensive weapon. The offensive weapon is the sword. And what is the sword of the Spirit? What is the sword with which you can defeat the enemy? It is the Word of God. See, when the Spirit works, when the Spirit goes on offense against the enemy, that sword in your hand is the Word of God. It's this book that is the sword with which you can slay the enemy, with which you can defend against his attack. But the point for today, the sword of the Spirit, the business end of the Spirit, how the Spirit gets things done. Remember, Ezekiel said, he spake to me and his Spirit entered into me. When he wanted to accomplish something in Ezekiel's life, he spoke those words and that was the working of the Spirit. When God wants to accomplish something, he spoke this universe into existence. By the voice of his mouth, he spoke it into being. By His Spirit, He brought it into being. When He speaks, His Spirit is at work. And we need to understand that God has today. We are the first of God's people in all of history, in the dispensation of grace, that have had a completed Word of God. No other group of people in all of history that God has dealt with has been able to hold a book in their hands and say, this is the completed Word of God. Every word that God has revealed is in here. And anything that's not in here is not something God has revealed. It's complete. It's finished. And understanding that gives us a basic understanding of where the first step we need to take to a better life. The first step we need to take to a better life, as I said earlier, is get a life. Where are you going to go to get that life? You're going to get that life in a book, in the Word of God, in your Bible. That's where life resides. Now, there's two applications of that. If you're listening to my voice today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then the first thing you need to do is understand what the Scripture says about salvation and about eternal life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Scripture says this about eternal life. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also have you received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, the saving gospel, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the message that contains in it life, spiritual life, eternal life. In the words of this book are eternal life. We've been saying that all along today. This book contains life. Here's how it contains life. You believe 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And God will give to you the gift of eternal life. Because you believed the words on that page. And when you believe the words on that page, the Spirit will do a work in you. And He will crucify all that you were and make you something brand new in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you believe the words, the Spirit then works and crucifies your old man, all that you were, places you into Christ and gives you eternal life in Him. But all that's initiated by the words, by believing the words on the page. That's the key, because that's how the Spirit will work, by believing the words on the page. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. What if you're listening to my voice and you are saved? And you've already trusted Christ as your Savior and you've received that gift of eternal life. You've received the life of Christ by believing His Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, Paul says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word will work in you in direct proportion to the amount that you believe it. In other words, when you believe the gospel, believe what God's word says about salvation, it'll save you. If you stop at that point, you'll still be saved. You never lose what you've got. But if you want God's Word to continue to work in you, to continue to take you on these steps to a better life, then you need to continue to believe it. And every time you reach a question or a situation or a circumstance in your life, you need to believe what God's Word says about that and do what God's Word says about that. And that'll lead you to a better life. And that's where these issues come in. Speaking to yourself in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, giving thanks, submitting yourselves one to another. All of those are things that we learn to do by faith after we've trusted Christ, after we've received that gift of eternal life from believing His Word, we then continue to believe His Word and are able to put into practice in our life these other principles. And that allows us to move toward a better life. The first step to a better life today is to get a life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today. And He'll get rid of the life that you had in Adam and give you a brand new life in Christ. A life of absolute righteousness and purity in His sight. And then, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, realize that there is a source of life. And if you want to get a life, you're going to get it out of this book. And out of the instruction that Paul gives us for the church, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of grace, that's the instruction that will teach you how to live the life you've received at salvation. Next week we'll go on and talk more about getting a better life and how to have a better life, the four steps to a better life. And we'll do that by looking at what Paul means when he talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We trust that you'll be tuned in then. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about our program. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. If you contact us in any one of those three ways this week, we'd be happy to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you just request the series on four steps to a better life, we'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. And then if you have questions or comments about what you've heard, please be sure to ask. We'll be glad to answer those questions also. Until next week, when we trust that you'll be tuned again, it's our desire that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.